Hey guys, it's Denver and you're listening to, oh shit, Let's Have a Drink. You know, it's crazy how fast these weeks are flying by. I feel like I just dropped the first episode of the show yesterday and it's already been a week and I'm here doing another one. So first, I just want to start off by saying thank you to everybody who liked the show, who retweeted the artwork, who left a comment, who, you know, did I say listen to the show? Who listened to the show, who had something nice to say about the show. I'm up here breaking shit. I know I'm not the most expressive person in the world, but the support truly meant a lot. And I'm happy that you're here, and I'm happy that you are listening to episode number two. And again, I'm not the most expressive person in the world, but I think that the support means more to me than you guys would ever know. So thank you, and I'm glad that you're here. I have to be honest, after I put that episode out last week, I damn near had a panic attack. I couldn't stop pacing. I was shaking. It was just really, really nerve-wracking. And I think it's because I realized that up until this point, everything I had done, I've done on behalf of lovebscott.com, or I've done on behalf of B, and I've never really done anything that's kind of mine. And I don't think I realized how nice it's been to work and always have a buffer. You know, if anything went wrong, it was always lovebscott.com or B. Or if you didn't like something, there was always another name or always another, I guess, figure in between me and the audience. So putting the show out and not having that, it was kind of like a whoa moment. But we made it through. I'm back. And yeah, I think that I just kind of have to let the pressure go and just have fun, because ultimately that's what I want to do. Have fun and get drunk. So we started with the fun and now it's time to get drunk. My poor mom, if she's listening to this, she's going to think like, oh my God, my son, he's such a drunk. But I know I said that the drinks won't always be alcoholic each week, but we're still in quarantine and we could all use a good cocktail. So this week I am drinking what's called the Rosé Tequila Sangria. You can find the complete recipe, if you haven't already, at the @drinkwithdenver Instagram or the @drinkwithdenver Twitter. And yeah, I chose this recipe for a few reasons. One being that our stay-at-home order in Los Angeles has been extended through June. Pool party season should have kicked off in March, and I'm really missing the summer. Like, I gotta be honest. And this drink in particular reminds me of summer. I normally hate fruit in drinks, unless it's a sangria. And this drink has a bunch of peaches and blueberries and strawberries. And I just felt like I needed a summer, something to uplift me a little bit. And another reason why I picked this drink is that it's Memorial Day weekend. And although most of our Memorial Day plans have been effectively canceled, I wanted to share something that was easy and pitcher ready. So even if you're at home, you can make like a nice big batch and sip on it all day and get a little festive. Last week, I had to get a lot of the about the show stuff out of the way. So moving forward, I mean, at least my plan is to get just a little more personal. I know a lot of you who listen to me on the B. Scott Show DM me or hit me up and ask me why I don't share more about my personal life, like my friends and my family and my relationship. One, I'm super private. And two, I think just up until recently, my personal life has been a little bit more chaotic, you know, certain situations and whatnot. And I just didn't really feel like sharing that. And I also, part of me, like, I'm super protective of the people in my life, whether they be friends or my boyfriend, just because I know that I signed up to talk and share and put my life and experiences out there. And they didn't. So I don't necessarily think it's always fair for me to come and give one-sided versions of, you know, what's happening or what isn't happening, especially when what's happening isn't necessarily good. But everything's great. Everything's fine. Everybody's happy. I'm happy. So I definitely don't mind sharing or letting you guys in on some of that happiness, because I think that right now, especially, we all need a little bit more happiness. With that being said, there's a third reason for the drink this week. And that's because I went to the beach with my boyfriend last weekend. And again, I was just inspired by summer fun, the waves and the sand. And speaking of, we need to talk and figure out what we're going to do about the white people who refuse to wear masks. California is under a very strict policy. If you leave your house for any reason, you are supposed to have a mask on your face. The beach opened up last weekend for, quote, recreational activity. which is exercise. You know, no lounging is allowed, no sitting is allowed. And so we get there, and what's everybody doing? Lounging and sitting with no masks. And me, I've always been like the, I don't really want to get in trouble with the law kind of person. And I don't know if it's because just I've grown up in mostly white spaces or I'm in LA, but I've always learned that while other people can do things and get away with them, for me, it's not the case. So before we went, I'm like, okay, so the beaches are open and we're going to go because you want to go to the beach, but we can't sit, we can't lounge. We're just going to, you know, basically see the water and have a good time. So no towels, we don't need them, and no blankets, we don't need them, and grab the masks, all that to get there. And everybody is in full picnic mode, towels, blankets, coolers. You have families of 10 people plus kids, people in the water. Nobody had a mask on. Well, let me take that back. There were people with masks on, but they were very few and far in between. And the ones that did were more than likely people of color. So we're at the beach. We realize what time it is. And I was a little bit torn. I was like, okay, so do I not wear the mask and just be among the people and be as free and fun? Or do I keep the mask on and not get the Rona and save my life? So we kept our masks on. But what we did do is we did go to the local Ralph's and buy a blanket and towels. And we stopped at a restaurant that was doing takeout and got wings and a big 32-ounce margarita and some cups. And we went back out to the beach and laid out and just had a really, really, really nice beach day, even though the beach was closed to recreational activity. And the cops, the police, were driving up and down the beach on the loud horn, basically saying,
"Get up, stretch, touch your toes, do jumping jacks or something. You cannot lay."
Was anybody listening? No. We were out there for maybe like 2 hours, and from the looks of things, there were people who had been out there all day long, just, you know, enjoying themselves. It was a really nice glimpse of what the summer could be, and I hope that we get past all of this so we can go back to the beach and not have to worry about a cop telling us to do jumping jacks. So again, if you need the recipe for the rosé tequila sangria, it is on the @drinkwithdenver Instagram and the @drinkwithdenver Twitter. Moving on. Last week we had a tech segment, this week we have a tech segment. We will always have a tech segment, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now before I forget. Some pretty big things happened this weekend in the tech world. Number one, for you iPhone users out there, iOS 13.5 is out. It is a new software update. It doesn't do anything revolutionary, but what it does do is it makes it easier for you to unlock your phone while you are wearing a mask. It doesn't bypass Face ID completely, but when you look at the phone with your mask on, it knows and it'll prompt you to it'll prompt you to enter your passcode right then and there without having to fail it out a couple times. There's also like a really small update to group FaceTime so you can stop people's heads from getting big when they talk. I kind of like that feature. I know I think I mentioned it last week and that the Housewives of Atlanta reunion reminded me of that. So I will be keeping mine on, but that is a new feature in iOS 13.5. All of you iPhone people, I suggest you go and download it because we're going to be wearing these masks for quite some time. Tech topic number two is Twitter. Twitter is testing a new feature that will let you select who can reply to your tweets. I don't know where this was a month ago when I was getting dragged by everybody under the sun for various reasons, but now when you make a tweet, you can select a couple different things. You can select if only people who follow you can reply. You can select if only the people you mention in the tweet can reply. And I believe you can select if nobody can reply, which is kind of cool because sometimes you want to just say something and not invite the conversation. The only downside is people can still quote, tweet, and retweet with their comment to what you said. So it doesn't stop the conversation from happening completely. But it does stop that direct, we're going to have a conversation under this thread that doesn't really matter to you moment that I often have. So it's a limited test right now. Hopefully they open it up to everybody. I haven't seen too many negatives, but I have seen people getting caught up with saying really ridiculous things, thinking nobody can say anything, and getting gooped by the quote tweets. So if you do have the feature, test it out and hopefully they keep it. What else? Oh, yeah. So this last topic for this segment really kind of pisses me off. Instagram has enabled notifications and a new system to stop people from using unlicensed music in the live streams, right? So I don't know if you post to Instagram regularly, but if you do and you use music, oftentimes if you don't have license for the music, it's blocked on copyright grounds, right? But it was really kind of unregulated in the live streams. So since quarantine, what's been happening? We've had a lot of DJs and artists playing new music, mixing music, using songs in their live streams that aren't being counted for royalties or what have you. And the labels really aren't happy. So now Instagram is implementing a technology that will scan your audio feed as you're broadcasting. You'll get a notification if you do not have license to use the music saying, hey, this music is unlicensed. You can either stop playing this audio or we're going to mute or disable the audio to your live stream. Which is really fucked up because when you think about it, the only people this is targeting are those DJs who are doing their thing on Instagram and drawing these massive audiences, and the labels really aren't getting a cut. So instead of the labels and Instagram, you know, coming to terms with whatever agreement they need to come to, they're punishing or stopping bags from people using music in their live streams, which I think is super shitty. If you have that technology to detect music in live streams, right? Instead of using it to block the music, use that to then work with the labels and use that to identify songs so that the people who need to get paid from the songs can get paid from the songs. You guys make billions of dollars. Just pay the money for the good of art, for the good of the community. Just do what you gotta do. So I need to talk about the new Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped. It's hard enough keeping my head bald and my facial hair in check during the quarantine, but what's even harder is making sure all of my bushes are trimmed. You know, all of them. The Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped really couldn't make it any easier. It has a built-in light so you can see everything, and it's waterproof so you can use it in the shower. And it has skin-safe technology so it doesn't nick my nuts. And you know, my nuts are kind of important. So if you're looking for a new body groomer tool, try one for yourself or get one for your man. Visit manscaped.com, that's manscaped.com, and use code DENVER20 to save 20% and get free shipping. Now it's time for my, I don't know if it's my favorite segment, but it seems to be the one that you guys like the most, Between the Tweets. Yeah, so I've decided to keep it because it makes me laugh and you guys liked it, so. Anyway, for those of you who skipped episode 1 and are just now joining for episode 2, Between the Tweets is a segment inspired by all the shit that I talk on Twitter. At underscore just Denver is the Twitter. And really quickly, I want to just touch on the shows that I've been live tweeting. I live tweeted both the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion and Insecure and spoke about them this week. So I want to get to Insecure, but there were a few things about the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion part 2 that I want to touch on. So one thing's apparent, Portia is really driving this reunion. As I pointed out, there was a clip in which Nene asked if she needed to get a rabies shot, referencing the rumors of Dennis being involved with bestiality. I asked my timeline if Portia was going to hold Nene to the same standard that she held Kenya when it came to the shady things being said this season, and Andy asked about it, but Portia just kind of brushed it off. And my thing is this, in watching the season and the reunion, Portia and Kenya were in a really good place leaving the season, or at least so I thought. But according to Portia, it wasn't until she watched the show back and saw that Kenya threw a bunch of shade in her confessionals and in like private conversations that she then took issue with Kenya. Portia and Nene, they both made up the season and left the show in a good place. But watching it back, we saw that Nene had some pretty shitty things to say about Portia. So why is it that Portia isn't really keeping that same energy with Nene? Like, why is she just kind of letting everything Nene said just float on by? And I know everyone's quick to say like, oh, Portia and Nene are in a good place now. Why would she trip on old shit? But that's exactly it. Like, Portia and Kenya were in a good place until Portia decided to what? Trip on some old shit. Old shit is old shit. I don't know what else you want me to say. Just because you're in a good place with someone doesn't give them blanket immunity over things they've done. And I really just want Portia to keep that same energy, but she can't because she's afraid. I think she's afraid. Now, Insecure. I haven't really been one to complain about how short the episodes are because TV is TV. And HBO said, no, we'll do 30-minute shows. And that's cool. That's how TV works. But after this episode, I'd have to wonder why the writers waste so much time on things that don't advance the story. Now, this past week, they spent 15 minutes of Issa driving a random old man around the city and trying to prove that she's a good person. For what? For comedy? Like, I don't get it. Especially when they illustrated that point with her trying to buy that pregnant lady some groceries, and when she got scammed by the DMV girls. I love character development, but with 30-minute shows, you don't really have the time to take on so many liberties in that department. Jonte and I, we stumbled across this show on Netflix called Bonding, which it's really good. It's about a white woman. She's a grad student who's studying to become a therapist, and she becomes a dominatrix to pay her way through school. And then she ends up hiring her gay best friend as her assistant, and they navigate the world and their friendship, and it's cute and quirky and really, really white, but it's funny. Anyway, the Bonding episodes are like 16, 17 minutes long, and so much happens in an episode. Like, they move through so much story in each episode, they don't even feel rushed. And I know that some of the, insecure writers or people affiliated with the show are probably listening to this, but I think the show could really use a pacing adjustment for next season. If you need a reference, check out Bonding, move the show forward. I woke up this morning and saw that my timeline was in a complete frenzy because of Lana Del Rey. And I saw Beyonce's name being thrown around, and I saw Nicki Minaj's name being thrown around, and I thought that Lana had said some racist shit on social media. I thought she may have said something about Say So being number one. She didn't, but she kind of did. So Lana Del Rey took to Instagram to rant about critics accusing her of glamorizing abuse. And I think I have the quote here. She writes, "Now that Doja Cat, Ariana, Camila, Cardi B, Kalani, and Nicki Minaj, and Beyonce have had number ones with songs about being sexy, wearing no clothes, fucking, cheating, etc., can I please go back to singing about being embodied, feeling beautiful by being in love, even if the relationship is not perfect, or dancing for money, or whatever I want, without being crucified or saying that I'm glamorizing abuse?" She continued, "I'm fed up with female writers and alt singers saying that I glamorize abuse when in reality, I'm just a glamorous person singing about the realities of what we all now seeing are very prevalent emotionally abusive relationships all over the world." And she continued, "I'm not a feminist, but there has to be a place in feminism for women who look and act like me. The kind of woman who says no, but men hear yes. The kind of women who are slated mercilessly for being their authentic, delicate selves. The kind of women who get their own stories and voices taken away from them by stronger women or by men who hate women." Here's the issue. One, she prefaced her post with question for the culture. Ma'am, what culture? Number two, while her point's kind of valid, name-dropping a bunch of black women as if black women haven't been singing about sex, oppression, abuse, and bad relationships for years is peak white womaning. Like, the peakest. Also, the fact that she's ignoring the very real reality that women she named have been on the receiving end of backlash for their sexuality, subject matter, and just plain old racism for their entire careers is astounding. In conclusion, the only thing I have to say about Lana Del Rey is...
Girl, shut the fuck up.
Boo, you suck!
Before we wrap this up, let's go ahead and get into some music. But Lady Gaga is getting ready to drop a new album called Chromatica next week, and she just released a song called Rain On Me featuring Ariana Grande. It's a cute song, it's miles better than Stupid Love, and I think between this, Stupid Love, and another song I listened to called Free Woman, this is my favorite. The issue that I'm having with Gaga this era, if I'm being perfectly honest, is that everything sounds like I've heard it before. This era is supposed to mark a return to Gaga and her dance pop roots, but what's not clicking is that Gaga's dance pop was like a modern take on 80s era Madonna. So it was kind of forward thinking, and with the visuals, it was giving us something that we hadn't really seen. Now in 2020, Gaga returning to dance pop is giving us a modern take on old Gaga. So it's Gaga doing old Gaga with half the budget and less innovative sounds. And it's just not really doing what it needs to do, to put it frankly.
It feels... reductive.
Tiana Taylor released two new singles, one called Made It, and the other that you're hearing is called Bear With Me from her forthcoming album called, quote, The Album. It's coming out in June. I like it. It's nothing revolutionary. You know, I actually really enjoyed her last album. It had its own kind of distinct vibe, and this to me sounds like Tiana's version of R&B that's already out there, and I think that's what people wanted from her the last time. It's good, but I'm still waiting for that undeniable banger from her. And yes, she is still signed to Kanye West's Good Music. So we'll see how this rollout works. From what she was saying, he doesn't really have much of a hand in this one. I think say what you want about Kanye West, but his production is fire. The production on that last album was fire. And I'm still mad that Tiana went on this whole campaign saying that her album was shitty or wasn't well received because she didn't get to do what she wanted to do, only to then say that, oh, there were other songs that were supposed to be out and there was this version of this one and this version of this one. And she put out, you know, the versions of the songs as she intended, And one, they weren't that different. And two, the songs that were missing were terrible. So I just had to say that, and I've said it. And I'm excited for Tiana's album out in June, and hopefully it sounds great. And that brings me to the end. I want to give a shout out to this Rosé Tequila Sangria for doing what it needed to do. I want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank you all for leaving your reviews on Apple Podcasts and Google and Twitter and Instagram. Again, you can find the show at Drink with Denver on Instagram and Twitter. You can find me at _justdenver on Twitter. Tell your friends, tell your people. That hey, I'm back and I have my own show now. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, and until next week.